Hi, my name is Jillian Taylor. I'm 15 years old. Today is December 29th, and I'm recording this interview in Flemington, New Jersey. I'm speaking with my Nana.
Hi, I'm Jillian's Nana. My name is Judy Anderson, and I'm 77 years old.
So I'll start with the first question. Can you share with me the story of how you and Papa first met?
Papa and I first met at a sweetheart dance. When I was in the 9th grade and he was in the 10th grade, and I was dating one of his friends. And a few months later, he invited me to my 9th grade prom.
How long did you and Papa date before you married?
We dated all through high school and all through college, and I think that was probably a total of 7 years.
So for the second question, what's one of your most embarrassing and funny memories?
One of my most embarrassing memories is when I took my grandchildren to a zoo, and I had flowered culottes on, and all of a sudden I had many, many bees that flew up under my culottes, and in order to get rid of them, I had to drop the culottes, and my little grandchildren were very embarrassed.
So you dropped your pants in public?
I did.
Okay. Do you have any other memories that you recall? They can be funny, embarrassing, happy.
That was the most embarrassing.
If not, okay, we can move on then. What are some of your greatest accomplishments or things you're most proud of?
Well, my greatest accomplishment is raising two children, my son David and my daughter Deb, and I feel I did a very good job, and they turned out really well, and so that's my proudest accomplishment. I'm also proud of the work I've done for hospice, taking care of terminally ill patients and giving them and their caregiver some type of quality of life when they're at the end of life.
What did you do as a job before you retired?
I had a job at the Brigham. It was called Peter Bent Brigham Hospital after college. And then after my son was born, I was a stay-at-home mom, and a stay-at-home mom when my daughter was born, and when she was in school full-time, I went into real estate, and I spent 31 years as a real estate broker in Barrington, Rhode Island.
So you were a real estate agent and a nurse?
Well, I decided not to go forward with nursing because I wanted to be, I had to work, but I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but because I couldn't afford to do that, I decided to go into real estate where I would have flexible hours and be home as much of the time that my children were home as possible.
Okay. I also wanted to talk, you had told me about the program you're in now, I forget what it's called, that you were just recently talking about, that you're getting mom into now.
Oh. Yes, I'm a member of PEO, which stands for Philanthropic Educational Organization, and there are chapters all over the world. We raise money in order to financially support women who would not otherwise be able to afford to go to college.
So you do that how often?
I do that about twice a month. We have meetings.
Okay. What are some of your biggest regrets in life?
My biggest regret is not being able to live near my children once they were grown, because I would like to have been more a part of their families, especially with my two granddaughters. We live too far away from my son, who lives in St. Louis, Missouri. My daughter now lives in New Jersey. She had lived in Chattanooga and a couple of places in Massachusetts, but I always had to travel to get to them, and so that was my main regret.
Do you have any other regrets?
I regret the fact that during college, in my junior year, I became very ill, and I wasn't able to finish my senior year. And then when I was well, and I went back to college, I was doing that while I was raising two children and working full time, and doing college on top of that was very stressful. So that was a regret.
But you couldn't control being sick though.
So. That's right, but.
You just wish it hadn't happened.
Yeah, I wish it hadn't happened.
So would you change your path in life if you could, or do you like where you've ended up?
I don't think there were any changes that I would have, other than, you know, moving closer to my children.
So if you could, would you go back in time and change the past, or do you think that you're happy with where you ended up, so you wouldn't want to change anything?
Well, if I could change my path and be closer to my children, I would like to have done that, but that didn't seem like a possibility because of our circumstances.
Okay. So what is something you've always wanted to do in life, but something's always held you back?
Well, one thing was I'd always dreamt about going on a safari, and now I think I've put that off too long because now my health would not be suitable to that kind of a trip. I would like to have done parasailing, but because I have a very bad back and I've just had a total knee replacement, parasailing is out of the question. So those are two regrets that I have.
So all these things seem to be more like adventurous things. So is that how you describe your personality, is kind of daredevil?
No, I usually would try to do anything that was put before me, but I don't consider myself really a daredevil, but I just didn't want to miss out on any opportunity.
So over time, has your perspective on life changed?
My perspective in life has changed. I think that I lived and grew up at the very best time, which was back in the 50s, 40s and 50s, when mothers were all home and we had a lot of supervision. Most people weren't moving away, so we had family around. I had four grandparents and a great-grandmother while I was growing up. And I feel that I benefited greatly from that because I was able to understand their lifestyle and compare that to my lifestyle. And now, where families are spread so far apart, I think that's a problem. I don't think that the generation now knows very much about what went on prior generations because they're not living near aunts or uncles or cousins or grandparents.
So that seems to be one of your biggest values then, like having family close together, seeing as that's one of your biggest regrets.
That's right. I think family is the most important thing.
Okay. So how would you say that you can see like differences between your childhood and your children's childhood and now my childhood?
Well, when I was growing up in the 40s and the 50s, because we had lots of family around, we had lots of activities, we had cousins to do things with, we also spent a lot of time outdoors and we had lots of fun games. We played hopscotch. I was an ice figure skater, so we had figure skating. We played jump rope and marbles and cat and go seek, and we were out in the neighborhood getting fresh air, which was much healthier than what I see my grandchildren going through now and other people's grandchildren's, because I drive around neighborhoods and I don't see anyone out playing. I think that the world of technology has limited their lifespan or their exposure to family. I just feel that my world was better than what my children's and my grandchildren's world is.
So you don't like the introduction of so much technology?
Well, I don't mind some of the technology. I just think that when children are pretty much addicted to that, I think they don't have many social contacts person to person. It's all over a cell phone or a computer. And I think they've lost out on a lot of the quality of life that I feel was so important to me, where I had lots of friends and I went to my friends' houses after school. We did our homework together. We played together. We went swimming together. I think when they go home to their room after school and just are looking at their cell phone and Facebook and texting and all, and I see, I go out for dinner with my grandchildren and I'll see a whole family sitting there. Nobody's talking to each other. They are looking down at their cell phone. And one day I said to my granddaughter, isn't it too bad that there's a family and nobody's talking to anyone else? And she said to me, well, Nana, you don't know, but she may be texting her mother. And I said, her mother's right across the table. Couldn't she look up and talk to her mother? So I think it's changed life dramatically.
So if you could choose, would you choose to have a world without technology or a world with technology?
I would choose a world with very limited technology.
So without or with?
Without.
Okay. I want to go back to the question I asked before about your perspective changing over time. So would you describe yourself as always, I feel like you're a half glass full type of person. So would you describe yourself as always having been that way or as you've gotten older?
I've always been a person with the glass is half full rather than half empty. I try to be very positive. I try to look on the bright side. I try to accept whatever comes my way and not complain about it. And so, yes, I would say I've always been a person with glass half full. I think it's a better way to go through life than a glass half empty.
It makes you
a happier person.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about your childhood then. So anything you want to share about it?
I had a wonderful childhood. I grew up, I was the oldest of four children. I had lots and lots of friends, and I was in lots of activities. I was a figure skater, and the principal of a school had a beautiful home up on a hill, and the hill sloped down to a flat area, and every night in the winter he would flood that ice rink. We had a warming shed where we always had a hot chocolate on the stove, and we could go up in and warm up. We had carnivals, we had competitions with other skating groups, and so I did that every day of the winter. There was skiing available because I lived in Western Massachusetts, which was a great place to grow up. There was a lot of culture, there were a lot of theaters, there was a jazz barn, there were shows that were off-Broadway. Excuse me. And we were outside playing. My best friend had a summer cottage. This is hard. Excuse me. And I spent summers out there with her right on the lake. We had our own motorboat. We used to go water skiing. We'd have picnics in the state forest with my cousins and my grandparents many weekends in the summer. I'm sorry, I have laryngitis. We just had a very full life with lots of family around.
Okay, let's see what else to talk about. What is one of the biggest challenges you've had to overcome throughout life?
One of the biggest challenges I had to overcome, I was a nursing student at the University of Connecticut, and I got caught in a fire where we lost lots of patients. I was in with a patient with oxygen, and we didn't know if we were going to be rescued. because the largest hook and ladder in Connecticut was not able to get to the ninth floor. So I spent that time during the fire with the lady, and we were finally rescued. But it was challenging to deal with her because she was very frightened.
So did you say you were caught in the fire too? Or?
Well, the fire was started in a trash chute. Someone put somebody who was some product in the trash chute that was flammable. And it caught fire and it built up such pressure, no one knew it was burning. It blew out the vault on the ninth floor, where the vault that went to the trash chute. And a doctor and nurse were killed instantly. And we had been trained in nursing to go into each room. Everything was fireproof except the ceiling tiles. But we were supposed to go into the patient's room, wet a towel, and then tell them to put it behind at the base of the door so that the smoke wouldn't go in. And so we did that. And the next morning, after I was rescued and this patient was rescued, the fire chief of Connecticut asked me to go to the ninth floor with him because he knew I'd been up there. And it was pretty amazing to see where the patients listened to us and stayed in their room with the door closed and the wet towel under the door. There were flowers blooming in the room, white sheets on the bed, cards strewn along the wall. And the very next room, there was nothing left. The bedside stand was just a pool of metal on the floor. Everything was black and charred, and those were rooms where the visitors panicked and tried to get the patient out and save them. And that was where a lot of the deaths occurred. And then I had to help take care. We had to send all of the babies home, even the ones that were just born that day. We wrapped them in a mattress pad or whatever we had in the nursery, gave them to the mother, and the ambulances came to the door and took the babies home so that we could create a better space for the critically ill burn patients, and I helped take care of them. It was very challenging and very upsetting.
I can see why.
As a result, I'm very afraid of fire. I don't like even seeing a fire in a fireplace in a living room.
If you could create one standard rule that everyone has to live by, what would it be?
Be kind to everyone.
Do you have a reasoning behind as to why that would be your biggest rule?
I don't think anybody should be discriminated against, whether they're black or Asian or whatever they are. I think there's a lot of bigotry in our country right now. There's no civility. It's very little civility. People are unkind to other people based on their religion or the color of their skin. And I wish that we could go back to a society where there was more civility.
I agree. Now for a little bit more morbid of a topic, do you think about dying?
No, I don't really think much about dying. I'm more familiar with death than a lot of people because I have done a lot of hospice work and I've taken care of a lot of terminally ill patients. So when I'm with them, of course, I think about dying. But as far as myself, I'm not afraid to die. I certainly hope to live many more years, but I would rather die than be in a nursing home and have very little quality of life. And I think we're kinder to our animals than we are to our people. There's too much suffering, and I think that that's a shame. And I don't know what the answer is to that, because, assisted suicide is the answer, but there will be problems with that because to verify whether somebody really is terminally ill and how much longer they have to live is a very difficult thing even for a doctor to do. So I'm not sure how you can solve that problem.
What you said about us being kinder to our animals than to people, that I found that interesting. What did you mean by that?
When animals are terminally ill and they have no quality of life, the animal is put down, euthanasia. They're euthanized. And I think that when somebody is very terminally ill and in great pain and has no future ahead of them, I don't think they should be hooked up to respirators and different machines that keep the bodily functions going. I think we should let them die in peace. And I'm a very firm believer of that.
So you don't think people should be able to choose if they want to?
Oh, yes. It's only if a person decides that they want to leave this world. If they want to suffer in a nursing home for years, then no, it wouldn't be forced on anybody. It would be up to the patient. But I think if a patient really doesn't want to go on, I don't think the patient should have to.
I thought they didn't have to. You mean they?
What's that?
I thought they don't have to right now.
Well, they can give you an order or give a hospital an order not to resuscitate them now, but that's a lot different than assisted suicide.
Okay, so my final question is how you want people to remember you.
Well, I hope they remember me as a good person who's been kind to everybody, a good mother, and someone who has tried over her lifetime to make the quality of life for people a lot easier, and someone who's a good friend.
I think a lot of people will remember you that way.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome. I was happy to do it.